Chapter 6. Tempora Mortis. 999.M30. Western Continent. Gugan. A peripheral chamber in the central fortress of the Harud Borough complex shook to the rumble of breaching charges, bringing its alien garrison to alertness. A second series of detonations blew in the wall in a blizzard of vitrified rock fragments. The Harud were already firing as the lead elements of the 16th Grand Battalion charged through, the 165th Company at its head. Breaching squads came first, bolt guns firing through the loops of their shields. Harud phasic plasma materialized in the bodies of men, bypassing their armor and killing them outright. However, where the plasma impacted directly, the shields were thick enough to stop it, though they were soon peppered with holes. The barrage felled a score of Iron Warriors, but there were too many of them, and in moments the fight was over. Captain Anabaxis stepped over the bodies of his men into a room filled with the decomposition vapors of the Harud.
"Secure that door!"
he ordered, pointing to the sole exit from the room. It was irregularly shaped and mysterious of purpose.
"Mios!"
he said, calling his master of signal to him. Mios came running from the rear, the multiple antennae of his Nuncio Vox and Cognis Signum extending from their housings as he approached.
Captain?
Make contact with the rest of the 16th Grand Battalion, commanded Anabaxis. See if you can raise the 11th.
The Iron Warriors crammed themselves into the room, taking a moment to check their weapons and replenish supplies from the artillery train at the column rear. Though it had been dug rapidly, the Imperial assault mine was perfectly square and cut into the rounded Harud chamber like a sword into flesh. Fortridon watched Captain Anabaxis. He was brusque as he checked fallen warriors whom the apothecaries had not yet reached, summoning aid where needed.
"If he feels anything for the fallen men, he hides it well," said Fortridon. "I am within," murmured Bardon. "He deserves his name of Unwavering. But do not let it make you think he does not care. He's not so careless as to kill us all. How would he win if he did?"
"Sir,"
called Mios,
"I have contact with the 168th and the 169th Line Companies and the 33rd Grand Company. They're moving in on the Harud Citadel ahead of us. The 11th Grand Battalion is coming in from the east. The Primarch is engaging them from the north."
"Then we hurry. Move on,"
Anabaxis ordered.
"We're behind schedule. The 11th Grand Battalion awaits us." 20 of ours dead for 8 of theirs. I hope the Primarch fares better," said Bardon, as they trooped out of the chamber.
"Quiet," said Sergeant Zalsk.
He was watching their leader carefully.
"Anabaxis will hear you. If he does not have you on the punishment racks for insubordination, I will. Is that clear?"
They fought their way up winding passages under heavy fire. The Harud resistance became heavier the closer they came to the citadel at the fortress's heart. There were so many of the Xenos that time became meaningless. Communications between the companies of the Legion was hopelessly disrupted. Through storms of fusil fire and areas of temporal disturbance they battled, coming closer and closer to the central holdfast. The aliens, previously stealthy ambush fighters, now came at them en masse. They deployed larger weapons and warriors in suits of scabrous living armor and strange things that may have been machine or flesh or both. Corridors became choked with the dead. One was filled wall to wall with the bodies of the Imperial Army Penal Auxilia attached to the 11th Grand Battalion. Crumbling uniforms hung from emaciated frames, and wisps of white hair moved in the fetid breezes of the Warren. Every one of them had died of old age. For Trident's company was slain around him. Bardan fell, cut in half by a blade that sucked the life from him. When he hit the floor, his armor shattered into oxidized flakes and his bones into powder. Age clawed harder at For Trident with every engagement. The disruption of time disoriented him, putting pressures on his system that even his enhanced physiology could not compensate for. The muffled booming of mole mortar fire rumbled from every sinuous passageway. Earthquakes shook the planet. The burrows rippled with the shocks, protected somehow from the tectonic strains placed on the planet by the Harud. For Tridon's world became confined to an endless procession of screaming alien faces and men dying to the effects of horrific eldritch technology. he became numb, fighting on automatically. After each engagement, there was barely enough time to replenish their ammunition before the next horde of Xenos bore down on them, and the cold ache of age pulled at his bones again. They joined with the 119th Company, who were under direct command of the 11th Grand Battalion's warsmith Hector Doss. Together, the two forces were now barely the size of the 165th Company when it had first breached the Citadel. After what seemed like centuries of fighting, they broke through into a huge cavern supported by willowy pillars and crossed by galleries that looked to serve no purpose. There the Harud were legion. The chamber was vast and filled with the tumult of full-scale war. Explosions boomed everywhere as a concerted armored assault pushed its way across the floor through a mass of flickering shapes. As Fortridon watched, a Typhon siege tank was mobbed by the indistinct outlines of the Harud. There was a flash, and they stepped away, leaving a rusted skeleton behind. A phalanx of dreadnoughts rushed out from behind, only to be felled by searing stabs of focused temporal vortices that rotted them from the inside out. Their chassis collapsed, thinned by oxidation, and a thin organic gruel spilled onto the ground from their sarcophagi. A shout went up from a handful of voices at the vanguard of the company. "The Primarch! The Primarch!" More voices picked up the call. Fortridon moved to the edge of the walkway and looked down, seeing nothing.
"Perturabo's here! To his side!"
someone called.
"Forward!"
ordered Warsmith Doss. Anabaxis took up the cry, then the rest.
"Forward! Iron within!"
shouted Warsmith Doss.
"Iron without!"
they roared in response. Fortridon was caught up in his brother's advance, rushing down around a spiral walkway that took them through a multi-layered battle. A lifetime of horrors emerged from around every turn. His bolter was never silent, and he fired until the barrel glowed. A great tumult in the centre of the chamber suggested Perturabo's position. Eventually, they came out onto the lowest level, a buckled landscape of nonsense shapes that resonated and hummed discordantly. And then, there he was, Perturabo, his genefather and lord of the Iron Warriors. The Primarch pushed his way forwards, unstoppable, a cadre of his Tyranthikos veterans at his back. He was a force of nature. Nothing could arrest his progress. He stepped into the killing waves of the Harud without harm, though explosions roared around him and temporal quickening fields battered at his frame. His war gear dulled, but it was so expertly made that it lost none of its functionality. And if he aged by proximity to the Harud's alien metabolisms and malign weaponry, his face did not show it. He was an avatar of fury, his blue eyes blazing hatred for all that did not wear mankind's form. The cannons strapped to his forearms spat death in every direction, shattering Harud into rotten meat. Their temporal fields failed to confound him, but sped him on when he encountered them, hastening Perturabo's movements and the Harud's deaths. Clearing the way of aliens, the Lord of Iron looked right at Fortridon. He raised his fist and pointed, gun barrel smoking. The young Iron Warrior's breath caught.
"Protect the device!" he bellowed. "Iron within! Iron without!"
In the Primarch's wake came a vehicle of the Mechanicum. Its heavy brass treads crushed the noisome residue of the Harud and fallen Iron Warriors alike into paste. Its bulk shattered the strange shapes of the floor and broke through the support struts of walkways. Beams of crackling energy slammed into its sides, only to be repelled by the arcane sciences of its creators. Though longer than a heavy siege tank, the vehicle's body was a fragile-looking thing. The spars holding the chassis over its four track units were less than a foot thick, but it was cocooned in protective layers of energy field, through which no harm could come. The mechanism was hinged in the middle, the body dividing into two parts. The engine and cogitator bank driving the vehicle occupied the smaller section at the back. The front carried a giant flask that spewed super-chilled vapour down its sides. Fortridon fell in alongside it as ordered, gun up, shooting when he could get a clear target. The air buckled and swam, making his aim treacherous.
Phasic plasma felled the warrior next to him, but the Xenos technology could not pierce the shields of the Mechanicum transport. The air beside him rippled with patterns of light. Harud weaponry, concealed in the very fabric of space by unclean means, opened fire. The transport drew their wrath like nothing else. From 1,000 Harud throats came a dreadful, haunting keening, and they threw themselves heedlessly at the crawler, only to be blasted apart by the growing phalanx of iron warriors guarding its sides.
"I am within! I am without!"
they chanted.
"I am within! I am without! I am within! I am without!"
The battle shifted. The Harud, seeing their beams of tortured time failing to pierce the atomantic shielding of the crawler, changed tactics.
"Melee fighters incoming!"
Anabaxis's voice filled for Tridon with savage joy. The pulse of his blood intoxicated him. This was war in its purest form, warrior to warrior, in a battle of annihilation. The cannons turned from the vehicle onto the legionaries, ripping them to shreds as parts of them were displaced in time. Warriors fell, fused with the remains of others, as they were shunted thousandths of a second along their own time stream and out of synchronicity with the planet's motion. Screeching Harud warriors appeared from folds in the air, each wielding twinned blades of light that smoked with entropic dissolution. They flickered and leapt from place to place. The munitions poured in their direction, hitting naught but thin air, or wasted by the beings' native time fields before they could detonate. The Legion was embattled on all sides. The Harud were pouring into the cavern, the effects of their temporal weaponry ripping apart for Tridon's perception as efficiently as it dismembered his comrades. Events broke from their normal flow. For Tridon's war ceased to proceed from moment to moment, but was instead broken into a disorienting jumble. Many Iron Warriors died, thrown from the middle of desperate combat and then back again, their concentration broken. Weapons fell to pieces as they encountered Harud blades. Warriors, speared by unearthly swords, exploded, their bodies forced into impossible shapes. Others aged backwards, flushed with vigour for a second, before dying in agony as their bodies gorily rejected their implants. But the Harud were not invincible. They could die. Bolts slew them, as did swords, and hands locked around thin alien necks. The Iron Warriors let go of their coldly logical approach to warfare, for it was no use against such creatures. They fought like beasts, and the Harud fell. Yet even savagery was insufficient. The line of steel between the screaming Harud and the Mechanicum device grew thinner and thinner. The crawler stopped. With a wheezing groan, it shot anchoring harpoons deep into the ground and began a low and throaty rumbling. For Tridon gunned down an alien. Swords slid from its limp fingers. Where they pierced the floor, the glassy surface shattered into vitreous sand. Another creature came at him. For Tridon fired, but his bolts failed to detonate, so he reversed his hold on his bolter and slammed the grip into the chest of the Harud. His hands burned as they came so close to the thing. His armor sang in alarm as the systems in his gauntlets and forearms decayed and failed. The Harud spun back, arms whipping over Fortridon's head like twirled ropes. His bolter fell from his hands, components fused with corrosion. The Mechanicum device pulsed quickly, strobing actinic light across the combatants. The Iron Warriors lit up like phantoms, frozen between each pulse. The strobing slowed, becoming slower and slower until it was a leaden heartbeat crawl. With a small sound, light blazed out of the device, and the temperature plunged. A coruscating stasis field blanketed the battlefield. Vortices of light whipped across the cavern where competing temporal currents clashed, tearing apart those unfortunate to be caught in the worst of it. The field stabilized. The distorting effects of the Harud were banished as the stasis field overwhelmed their biology, banishing the entropic waves that surrounded them. The Harud that Fortridon was fighting screamed in agony and fell to the side. To his amazement, he could see it clearly. For the first time, Fortridon saw his enemy. Huge black eyes blinked in a broad face thick with mucus streaming from dark pores in its flesh. Mandibles twitched in the corners of its mouth.
The skin was repellently moist. It had no hair, no expression, no soul light in its eyes. The basic form of four limbs and a head aside, it was utterly alien. Stinking robes swathed it head to foot, but on one side they had been burned away, revealing articulated armour closely fitted to its flexible limbs. It lifted its sword, but it too was affected by the field, and the sheen of light around it wavered uncontrollably before puttering out. Fortridon pulled his bolt pistol from his holster and blasted the creature square in the chest. It exploded mid-screech. Perturabo surveyed the battlefield with a look of exultant pleasure. The tactic had been his, and it was sound.
"Kill them," commanded the Primarch. "Kill them all!"
What had been a close-fought battle became a massacre. The Harad's weaponry malfunctioned spectacularly under the aegis of the shield, or lost the more esoteric properties that cheated the armour of the Space Marines. Their natural advantages lost, the Harad were revealed as feeble physical specimens. Horrific to look upon though they were, they had little strength, and were no match for the raw might of the Legiones Astartes. The Iron Warriors set upon the foes with merciless rage. Perturabo led from the front, the cannons mounted on his forearms, spewing streams of solid shot into the aliens. He stamped forwards, killing any Harad found by his fists or by his guns. Their bodies fell like rain from every level of the cavern, and now they did not dissipate into mulch, but stayed whole as any mortal creature. Even in the middle of that terrible carnage, the vulture servitors of the Magos Biologis crept onto the battlefields, sealing examples of the creatures into stasis caskets and dragging them away. Terrible tides pulled at Fortridon. Every creature he slew left him more influenced by the stasis field than before, and where many died, he struggled against the arrested flow of time like an insect trapped in thickening amber. There came a point when most of the enemy were dead, and the combat proceeded at glacial slowness. The Iron Warriors descended on the last survivors like nocturnal insects to lumens, now seeking the creatures out for the warping effect they had on time that counteracted the slowing of the stasis field. Fortridon found himself by a cavity in the wall. Black-clad, flexible bodies rolled under his feet. Green streaks of alien plasma were now a rarity. He was alone, but by the wall, time flowed more or less as it should. He was still under the stasis umbrella, so the passage of events should have slowed to a crawl. It could only mean that Harad were close. Determined to find their hiding place, he stepped through a door, finding himself in a long corridor. He was too incensed to call for aid. The doleful battle humour of his breed was hard on him. If there were enemy here, he would kill them himself for glory and for vengeance. He needed no help. Oval doors opened off the way, and he entered one. The interior was completely dark. A poorly aimed shot streaked over his shoulder. He fired back, hearing the explosion of the mass-reactive bolt in its target and the collapse of a body on the floor. He activated his light intensification vision. The room was full of the Harad, but these were no fighters. The young, the old, the infirm, he guessed. One raised its hand on the end of a snaking arm. A gesture of surrender, perhaps? Anger swelled in Fortridon's chest. "Kill them all," the Primarch had said.
"Iron within, iron without," he said, and opened fire.